Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Christ is risen.
Yeah, it's true. It's not Resurrection Day. It's not Easter Day.
Yes, it is. It's Resurrection Day. I wish the church was full this morning to hear it. And the fact, you see, that we are meeting today on Sunday, the first day of the week, is circumstantial evidence for the resurrection, right? Now, on Easter Sunday, I said that there should be one day of Lent and 40 days non-stop celebration of Easter. Do you remember that? And I only spoke about responses to resurrection in the Gospels. I didn't use any other reference except to show that the Gospel account of how Jesus Christ, the risen Christ, just engaged every manner and DNA of hopelessness, the hopelessness of the disappointment of Cleopas on the road to Emmaus where they said, "We had hoped." The fear and dread, the hopelessness which Jesus, you know, came through the walls to, the hopelessness of despair, the hopelessness of Thomas's doubt, the hopelessness that had become the consequence of Peter's denial. And strategically, the Gospels present a risen Christ engaging that hopelessness. And therefore, Peter, writing in his first epistle, 1 Peter 1:3, later says, "We have been born anew into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And I said that, obviously, you know, there's time to do that. I said I really wanted to come around again in by way of catechism. So I'm going to catechize you this morning. I'm aware it's Mother's Day. Obviously, there are a lot of people that didn't think I'd get them out early, so decided to get out early by not coming at all. And I speak a word of forgiveness over all of them, wherever they may be, where it is raining. All right, okay, So I'm going to catechize you. And I'll have you out in no time. But I am just going to deal with some scriptures. In fact, I don't want you to look them up. I have deliberately not put them on a PowerPoint so your eye goes. I just want you to listen. Take what you can. In the pastoral letter, I will list every reference, okay? So you will have a record that you can go to and follow up on your own as a devotional. So by reference to now Acts of the Apostles and the epistles, I want to summarize everything that the New Testament explicitly says. And you heard one of them this morning. In fact, Elizabeth read one of the verses. It's nice when you're going to get up and teach and things happen. You think, maybe I'm on the right track. That scripture specifically dealt with it. I really appreciated the first and the last song we sang today as well. But more of that in a minute. Let me just say something. You could do this in twos or threes. I really don't care. Because Jesus was raised, fill in the blank. Off you go. How many things can you come up with? Because Jesus was raised, boom. Off you go.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
It sounds like we're running out of reasons. Okay. I alluded to it last time. It's a whole other study. But obviously, when we read the scriptures, a key point that is made about Jesus' resurrection was that it was according to the scriptures, which is why the veracity and the authority of scripture is so important. Now, what I want to do now is not Stuart speak, it's just scripture speak. All those in favor? So I'm not going to be expounding. I'm not going to do extended expository on any of this. I just want the weight, the catechetical weight of the scriptures to settle on you, that you have a firm basis, an overwhelming basis for enjoying the fruits and consequences of why Jesus was raised. All those in favor? All righty. Okay. Can you handle the truth? Apologies to Jack Nicholson. Can you handle the truth? All righty, here we go. Catechism begins. Acts 2:33. By the way, this is a novel message this morning. I mean, whoever thought of being a pastor doing a teaching where all you do is go through 40 scriptures? I mean, obviously that doesn't grow a church. Okay, anyway. Acts 2:33. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. So you're right into the second chapter of the early church, and we are given this incredible reason. Because Jesus was raised, we have life in the Holy Spirit. As I go through this, if you think it's a reasonable way, you can say amen. Alrighty? Alrighty. If you're experiencing it, say amen. If you're not, say, I want that. So each scripture, I'm going to raise a question. Do you need a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit? Well, because Jesus was raised. Acts 13:33. What God promised our fathers, he has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus. All God's promises are proven true on the basis of the resurrection. The promise of salvation in particular is fully fulfilled. Amen. Are you struggling to believe God's promises for your life? Well, because Jesus was raised, we have a basis to hope. I want it. Acts 13:38. Therefore, through Jesus, just referring to the resurrected Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is now proclaimed. Everyone who believes is justified from everything you could not be justified for by the law of Moses. Everything. That's everything. So the logic of Jesus' resurrection for Paul is the absolute assurance about the efficacy of the gift of forgiveness. Because Jesus, in rising, has fulfilled the punishment that the law would execute. And this is important because it's repeated in the very first sermon, in Peter's first sermon on the day of Pentecost. Immediately after he establishes the resurrection, his first words are, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins." Hallelujah. There is freedom from the judgment on our sin and from the power of sin because Jesus was raised. Are you in need of forgiveness? Because Jesus was raised, there's an answer. Acts 17:31. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man who he's appointed. He's given proof of this to all men. What's the proof? What's the proof of that which is to come? He has given proof of this by raising him from the dead. So we have to take seriously his, not suggestion, his command to repent. And we know that there is proof because of the resurrection that we will give an account of how we have responded to Jesus when we too are raised. Question. Do you need to keep short accounts with him now, given that you will give an account then? Because Jesus was raised, we can answer that question. Romans 4:25 through to Romans 5:3. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Therefore, now here's what comes. Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. So we know that Christ's sacrifice on the cross was accepted by God, and because he was raised, we too are accepted, justified by faith, declared to be righteous, which has given us peace with God, access into this grace, and joy for the hope of future glory, and a deep present personal experience of the love of God being poured out in our hearts. Question: are you struggling with your acceptance by God? Because Jesus was raised. There is an answer to that question. Romans 6:4. Just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. You manifesting the old life? Because Jesus was raised, there's a deliverance. Romans 8:11. If the Spirit of him who... This is just mind-blowing. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who lives in you. So we can now, because Jesus was raised, be free of the wretched domination of our lives by our physical appetites, by our flesh. And we can live according to the rule and life of the Spirit in victory. Question: any bondages or appetites that we need freedom from? Because Jesus was raised. Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth, heard this today, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart. Here's a, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. No resurrection, no faith. No resurrection, Jesus is just a high-minded moral crusader. Not enough. Might keep you moral, might help with some humanitarian efforts, but it won't save you. We can be assuredly saved. For there is no salvation without the belief and confession that Jesus is raised. Question: do you confess your faith with assurance? Because Jesus was raised, we may.
1 Corinthians 6:14. You still with me?
A lot of applications, aren't there, of the resurrection? Yeah? The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Now, I've ministered before on that passage in 1 Corinthians 6. It's a brilliant passage to go to when you're talking about our understanding of sexuality as Christians, or anything someone wants to describe as a Christian sexual ethic. Paul is absolutely brilliant. I mean, he if you remember, it's just a little Trinitarian statement in a few verses. He says, here's your relationship to God. Here's your body's relationship to God. Here's your body's relationship to Jesus. Here's your body's relationship to the Holy Spirit. Any questions about sex? And of course, he uses the word for join there that would be a use for a man joining himself to a prostitute. To just really shake them, what you join your body to in any unholy way, and which is why in our healing prayer rooms we deal with so much of, you know, all the backwash and sometimes bondage, demonic backwash of unholy the soul ties that come through sexual union. But this is interesting. There is power, Paul is saying, available for deliverance from body-based sin, especially sexual. Because the same power that raised Jesus will also raise our bodies from that which would seek to destroy it and kill its spirit. Paul talks about the resurrection of Jesus in relationship to the body. And it is this power that will enable us not to join our bodies with any counter spirit or sinfully united with that which is not Christ. So this raises a question, very deep pastoral question. Do you need his resurrection to influence and infuse your sexuality? Because Jesus was raised, hey? Yes. 2 Corinthians 1:9. We were under great pressure far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. In other words, for Paul here, God is proven trustworthy and reliable in all circumstances to be depended upon. For if he delivered Jesus from death and Jesus trusted the Father to do so in fulfillment of his promise, then we too can depend on his deliverance. Question. Any challenges and struggles to trusting God with anything? Anything you cannot believe he can come through on for you that he has promised? Because Jesus was raised, Second Corinthians 4:14, we're hard pressed, every side, but not crushed, perplexed, not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. Anyone been there? For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life, his raised life, may be revealed in our mortal bodies. So we can know the living presence of God in our lives now and forever. It's a living presence, regardless of circumstance. Question. It's very practical, the applications of the resurrection. Any hardship and pressure that needs resurrection relief. Ephesians 1:20. His incomparably great power to us who believe is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. We can be assured now of the exceeding greatness of his power towards us, not just generally like it's something in the atmosphere. It's towards me. Question. You ever been tempted, or are you tempted now, to believe his help works for everyone else except you? The goodness we sang about this morning is always towards someone else, it seems, but you? Because Jesus was raised from the dead, there's an exertion of his power to you. Colossians 2:12. We are raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. This is Pastor Paul. We no longer need to keep dragging out our days and years in this state of deadness and our trespasses and sins and godless muck and yuck. But we can be made alive together with Christ, assured that the resurrection proves that that work was a finished work, that he atoned fully and thoroughly and completely. One of the great lies of the enemy is there's still some negotiation to do. It's a finished work, Jesus said. And on top of all of that, the principalities and the powers, those things that work against our faith and spiritual success, whether it's personal sin or systems, whether institutions or iniquities, they have been disarmed. Do you feel unprotected? Do you feel vulnerable? Because Jesus was raised was an answer to that. Colossians 3:10. Since you have been raised with Christ, put on the new self. So in other words, we have a whole new orientation of mind, and we can set our mind on things that are above because our death-ridden mind has been freed, and we can put to death all the junk, the fornication, the uncleanness, the evil desire, the covetousness, Paul says here. We can rid ourselves of anger, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, thoughts, lies. Resurrection power is real practical, right? Question, any wrong thinking about yourself or the Lord? What are the networks of ungodly thoughts that invade your minds and your dreams? Because Jesus was raised. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. You still with me? Yes. You turned to God. Just want you to know that I'm looking at my watch. Did anyone miss that? It's preaching time. 1 Thess 1:10. You turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead. Jesus, the living Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. We can, because Jesus was raised, be delivered from the wrath to come. Question. Are you confident in your eternal future? Because Jesus was raised, you can be. Philippians 3:10. To know Christ and the power of his resurrection. So somehow to attain the resurrection of the dead. Because Jesus was raised, we too will be raised. Question, are you focused on what's to come? You ever get shocked by this wilderness of our values and ambitions? Because Jesus was raised, different orientation. 1 Peter 1:3, I'm going to quote it again because it's true. He's given his new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. We have an assured hope and a secure inheritance that will never fade away because Jesus was raised. Question. Can you trust the Lord for his eternal care for you? Because Jesus was raised, the answer is affirmative. 1 Peter 1:21. Through Christ you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so your faith and hope are in God. So we too, this is mind-blowing, we too can have the faith and hope in God as Jesus the Son did. Question, do you think you're limited in your capacities to trust God and you just have to live with it? Not so. If Jesus was raised. Hebrews 7:25. Whoa, this is the big ask verse. Because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood and is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. So because he was raised, we have a 24/7 intercessor who advocates for us, so we are always on God's radar. And God is into a finished business. The power of the resurrection is to finish the business and wants to save us completely. Have you given up on anything in your spiritual life? Do you need to recover a faith and hope in God's commitment to perfect and finish what concerns you? Because Jesus was raised, you can have assurance about that. Can you stand anymore? Anybody bored here? Anyone saying? Oh, yeah, I guess, yeah, that's a nice idea. Pity you couldn't have saved that for next Easter. And then, of course, there's that in Motherload, isn't there? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14, where Paul says, if Christ has not been raised, he's such a realist, he deals with the other side of it. If Christ has not been raised, let's face the issues. And then 6 verses later, he says, but Christ has indeed been raised. He goes through all the awful consequences for faith if there was no resurrection. But he says all of those fears are null and void because Jesus was raised. And then he lists them. We're not still dead. We've been made alive because miracles do happen and our natures have been changed. Preaching is not useless. No resurrection, no podium. No resurrection. Well, I'm out of here. But our communication of God's truth, even as I am repeating it simply this morning, according to Scripture, is powerful. It's fruitful. It brings down strongholds of doubt and unbelief and lies. And in the same movement, it rebuilds people's lives in the truth of God's living love and grace. So preaching's not in vain. Our faith is not vain, but true and transforming. God is not a liar, but true to every jot and tittle of his word and promises. We are not still in our sins, but utterly forgiven and empowered to walk in a new life. The dead in Christ have not perished. We are not to be most pitied and patronized, but rather we have lives that should be the envy of all. Paul is on an absolute gusher. Can we stand anymore? And that's why there's consistent emphasis in the New Testament. Because Jesus was raised, death is no longer a problem. We know from Scripture that the ultimate stronghold of fear is the fear of death for everybody. Everybody. Romans 6:7. If we've been united with him in his death, we will also be united with him in his resurrection. Since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. The life he lives to God in the same way. Count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So again, death has no more fear, control, or dominion over us. As one commentator put it, your death is not the end of the matter, because Jesus came and he said, hi, I am the death killer. 1 Corinthians 15:54. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Great encouragement of the great line of the poet John Donne. Death, thou too shalt die. 2 Timothy 1:10. Christ Jesus has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. It is abolished. Hebrews 2:14. Because he was raised, he's destroyed him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and frees those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. This is the ultimate demonic absolutization of slavery. He has destroyed him who has the power of death. And by the way, a little aside, a parenthetic side, in dealing with issues of reconciliation, you can argue this side, that side, and all the other side. If it's not based on a complete conviction about the power of Jesus Christ who was raised from the dead to effect something, we're just rearranging the pieces for another generation. We have got to deal spiritually. We talk a lot about it, but we don't go to intercede and plead God for the breaking of that root fear of death. The devil doesn't care less how we get there, but that we stay not living that conviction of the resurrection deliverance from this power of death. Revelation 20:14, death shall be cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 21:4, closing words of the Bible, there shall be no more death because Jesus was raised. Well, of course, you know, that death is not the end, may not be good news for everyone. Especially if you want to believe for your own sake or safety that there are no consequences and no accountabilities for this life to anyone at any time, or especially to God. Can you stand just a little bit more good news? Just a little bit more, just one more little paragraph. Okay, I'll just fly. Because Jesus was raised, listen. Because Jesus was raised, Matthew 16:16, we know we serve a living Lord. John 6:57, we know we're sons and daughters of a living Father. Hebrews 10:20, we know we walk in a living way. John 4:10, we drink living water. John 6:51, we eat living bread. Hebrews 4:12, 1 Peter 1:23, we have the living word of God. Romans 12:1. We offer ourselves in worship and serve as living, raised from death sacrifices. And 1 Peter 1:3, we have a living hope. See, the story of the church is recorded in Acts 1:3 in these words: He showed himself alive. The final message of the church is spoken in Revelation 1:18. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. So according to the scriptures, Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so that everything that I've mentioned above can take effect, or to put it simply, that we too may live a new life. By the tomb of Lazarus, in the face of all that was our death, on the eve of the cross, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? Church, do you believe this? Because Jesus was raised according to the scriptures. Now, I have mentioned, I've actually taken you through 40 scriptures. And I've mentioned so many blessings of the resurrection this morning that touch on so many areas of our very personal and practical lives. And I don't know even if in flying through that, there was one thing in particular that rang true with you. Was there an application of the resurrection, this Resurrection Sunday, to something specific in your life? Where does the truth of the resurrection need to be freshly experienced by you? Where does it need to be manifested in your life? I began by asking you, you know, what difference, if the truth of the resurrection, what difference does it make to your life? So I guess my appeal this morning for those of us who are here is, if you, like every Resurrection Sunday, it's the risen Jesus. If you need to come to the risen Jesus for any of the reasons I've given, close in worship, we'll do what we always do. There's an open altar here. But don't not come, or bring someone with you if you need to. Were any of those questions I asked your questions? Do you need a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit? Are you struggling to believe God's promises for you? Are you in need of specific forgiveness? Do you need to keep a short account with God, as you will give an account then? Are you struggling with your acceptance by God? Are you manifesting old life? Any bondages or appetites you need freedom from? Are you confessing your faith with assurance? Do you need a renewed confidence and commitment in asking, in approaching the throne of grace with boldness and with frequency? Do you need his resurrection to influence and infuse your sexuality? Any challenges and struggles to trust in God with anything? Anything you can't believe he can come through on for you? Any hardship and pressure that needs relief? Are you tempted to believe his help works for others but not you? His goodness always towards someone else but you? You're feeling unprotected and vulnerable? Any wrong thinking about yourself or the Lord? What are the networks of ungodly thoughts that invade mind and dreams? Are you confident and assured about your eternal future? If not, why not? Are you focused on what's to come, or are you shocked by this wilderness? Can you trust the Lord for his eternal care for you? Do you think you're limited in your capacities to trust God and just have to live with it? Have you given up on something in your spiritual life? Do you need to recover a faith and hope in God's commitment to perfect and finish what concerns you? Do you fear dying? Is something dead in your life that you need the power of Jesus to simply recover and raise? Because Jesus was raised, we can bring these things to the risen Christ. And it would suggest to me this morning that his resurrection is not in vain, but that we don't want to treat it as if it is vain for the things we choose not to submit to his power. So, the joys of Easter continue, and the challenges of Easter. So, if there's anyone who finds himself this morning in the same place as those we talked about on Easter Sunday, in real time, like a despairing Mary, wept loss of intimacy, or a doubting Thomas who'd lost his way, or a denying Peter, or a disappointed Emmaus Road disciple, or a denying Peter, all I'm saying again this morning is we can know again that the risen Jesus, because Jesus was raised, he's in the business of doing, he drew near, and he still comes through our walls. And he still says, look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. And the responses of Easter have not changed since that resurrection day. For any day we meet on the first day of the week, declaring the resurrection, we come to him. And he comes to us. And I love that phrase, and he breathed on them. That doesn't seem like zap power, that does it. But his breath takes everything old away. He just breathed on them. And he still loves to do so. I just found it so comforting that Anne finished that session on those words, come live in me, the living Christ. All my life take over. Come breathe in me. And I will rise. I will rise. Let's pray. Just take a minute to meditate. It's a lot of scriptures, a lot of word, but if you remember nothing, I want you to take home something of a surety that you can trust Jesus according to the scriptures. It's a sure word. Lord, we thank you for the blessings of a liturgical calendar and the fact that we are called into remembrance of that which we cannot forget for our very life's sake. We thank you for Easter Sunday. But Lord, we just simply declare in this gathering this morning, resurrection. You're risen. We present ourselves, Lord, humbly to you as your inheritance. Lord, we are the living evidence of your resurrection. We are among those you prayed for before the cross and claimed afterwards as your inheritance. We love that. And so, Lord, I just pray for my own heart and every heart here. I pray there'll be an assurance of the gospel, that we'll confess you are Lord, and that you raised Jesus from the dead. For all these things we've spoken about this morning, let them be true and living. Stamp the word living on all of this for our life, Lord. We want doctrine on fire in our life. And we ask this by the power of your Holy Spirit that resides with us, within us, in the name of Jesus. Stand with me as we close our service.